Hey everybody, welcome to the Fayforge Academy. I am normally your GM Steven, but we are finishing part two of Nobi Echo and the Lost Fairy, the one shot that Chris took some of our cast through, as well as a couple special guests. So special thanks to Lonzo and Jorge. Make sure you're following them. They both do amazing things in the TTRPG community, at Lonzo Gonzo and at TTRPG, TTRP GIFs. The G in TTRPG and the G in GIFs is the same G for Jorge's account. But both wonderful creators, oftentimes doing things for charity and all sorts of great stuff. So make sure you check them out and enjoy part two.
So, as all of you look up, you see this massive avian creature. I would say, Rizal, you spot immediately some of the telltale features of some kind of predatory bird. It has long talons and like this huge hooked beak. It is not like a normal, like you've seen, hawks and things like that from time to time, but this thing is larger and also does not look well or healthy. It's difficult to see from down here, but you catch a glimpse of like the glint of the sun kind of bouncing off of this creature. And it is very shiny, this bizarre, very shiny black color to its body and feathers. And from this vantage point, that's about all you catch, other than it is definitely trailing you and looks like it's about to start a descent in your direction. So, in this moment, rather than doing like full-blown initiative and everything, I'm gonna ask you for whatever check in this moment you think is most appropriate that your character would try to do or use to evade, escape, injure, deflect, like whatever you think you would do in this scenario. That's how we're gonna handle this, and we're just gonna see what happens. So whomever would like to start, if you have an idea of what you would do in this moment, go for it.
I think Tibodon would like to use an acrobatics check to kind of roll out of the way of this avian attacking creature.
All right, go for it. Give me that acrobatics check.
That's an 11, even though I have a plus 8 to it.
Okay. All right. Marte, Rizal, and Clove, what are you doing?
Do I know what these what this creature is?
You know that it is some kind of hunting predator, but you're not, I would say, immediately just off the top familiar with it. If you would like to try to ascertain information about it, maybe something you've learned, you may do so if you think that's what you would prioritize in this moment.
No, probably not. Then I'm going to use intimidation, but I'm going to use thaumaturgy to make my voice sound three times as loud, and it's going to sound like an eagle, like a cry of an eagle.
Okay. Amazing. Give me that intimidation. I think it's an advantage since you use thaumaturgy.
is it
I think it might. Is that just something I'm remembering from something else?
for Baldur probably you're thinking about Baldur's Gate.
Am I?
I don't, it doesn't say anything about that,
Oh,
so I'm
okay.
guessing it's not.
Well, have advantage anyway, because this is really neat.
Hey, okay. Intimidation or intimidation. Plus zero. 19.
Okay. Clove and Resolve.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm also in the phase.
I'm gonna beat them wangs. I'm gonna use my athletics to go faster is what I mean.
Okay. So you're trying to get the hell out of here. Got it. Give me
It seems like everyone's just trying to
For
dodge
sure.
and evade. Yeah.
Give me your
Yeah.
athletics check.
That's an eight.
Okay. All right. And Clove, what are you doing?
I think I'm also going to use acrobatics to try to get out of the range of ouch.
Fair.
So let me... That's going to be a 13.
Okay. So all of you immediately jump into action. Some of you kind of barrel rolling and dodging out of the way. Rizal, you are like bearing down and getting ready to bolt. And you can feel, all of you, just instinctually, the way a prey animal can sense when something is closing in on them. You can feel the hair or whatever you may have instead of hair kind of standing up on the back of your neck. As this creature nears, you can hear the heavy wing beats in the air, and the beats stop as it begins this downward glide. This creature dive bombs right into the middle of your group. And Rizal, give me another athletics check.
Okay. Athletics. Natural 20.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Woo. That's what we're talking about.
All of you feel this creature kind of like intrude and suddenly in your midst. And Rizal, you feel this massive talon closing around your body as this creature reaches out to grab at you. What does it look like as you manage to like not get snatched up?
I think I'd have my my great axe like, you know, tucked away, but I have my spear on me and I'm just batting the talons away as I'm trying to, like, I notice like there's more danger. And so like that like barbarian innate like ability, kind of not like a rage, but just like an innate like fight or flight, like flight, literally flight, now it kicks in. And I bat away his claws, and as I bat him away, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. And I'm just like trying to
yeah,
speed up and get away from its claws.
Amazing. In this same moment, like you're batting this massive talon away from you, and Marte, you let out this eagle's screech, this intimidating call to kind of like deter your would-be attacker. And as this creature begins to close its claws around Rizal, it suddenly kind of like almost jumps like you scared it. Rizal uses the great axe to beat the clawed hand back, and you actually get a response. Marte, what languages do you speak?
Common.
Okay. You hear this like screeching, kind of echoing, coughing response as this creature kind of like starts suddenly and retracts both of its both of its legs away from the group of you. And actually, hang on one second. Does anybody speak like Sylvan or like any kind of beast speak or anything?
I speak bird folk.
Fun. I speak Sylvan and Infernal.
Okay. I will say that neither of you get this like exactly word for word translation, but both of you get the sense that this creature's like, whoa, what? Like, hey, yo. And I would say with the bird folk, you actually hear, it doesn't have to be like that.
Oh, no.
But this creature, like, retracts a little bit, seemingly deterred for at least a split second. Marte, do you want to do anything while you have this creature's attention, or are you guys going to keep going?
Okay, yeah. I'll use, again, my thaumaturgy. Oh, wait, I'm walking here. What?
Hey, yo, whoa, I'm walking here.
That's not my accent. Are you hurt?
give me just a charisma check. I'll say with advantage since you scared it.
Oh, no. charisma plus.
Yeah.
Woo! 22.
This creature, it's now like kind of hovering in the air, kind of keeping pace with your group. I assumed you haven't just flat out stopped. But it's kind of now curiously regarding you, Marte. Clove and Tiburon, you kind of get this, like, pieces of a response as this creature answers in its own tongue. Something along the lines of, why is this one talking to me? Is this edible or not?
Oh, no.
Tiburon looks at Clove and says, do you have any snacks on you that you could just feed it? I mean...
Oh, snacks? Yeah, yeah. Hold on. I start rooting around in my pockets aggressively. I'm pulling out, like, a random seed pod, just a bunch of other, like, absolutely nonsense stuff. And then, yeah, I find, like, a nut or something, and I'm like...
Should I just... You just want me to chuck it at the bird?
Yeah, I mean, throw it, and I'll say I have food in bird folk. I mean, it's a bird. It should understand bird, right? Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so I chuck it, and I say in broken whatever, heads up, to the bird. But it probably is something more like... Like Skull Sky, or it's a bad translation.
Amazing.
And Tiburon just squawks like incoming nut.
Okay, I'm mature.
Yep.
Podcast family. Yeah, you guys call this out. You throw this like small whatever it is, acorn, this nut, whatever it is, at this creature. It bounces off the side of its head and it lets out this squawk of indignation, like, oh my god, what the fuck, is kind of the broken translation that you both would get. It does not make any move to retrieve this now tiny falling nut, but it now, it seems like it doesn't really know what to make of your group. It's probably, you get the sense probably, I would say, Marte, with your passive insight of 16, it doesn't seem to know what to make of you or your group or what to do with you. It seems hesitant to attack you, but it also seems hesitant to let you out of its sight. So it kind of veers up away from your group and maybe gets about 50 or so feet up in the air and is just following all four of you.
Okay.
Can we ask it for a ride?
I was gonna ask that. Yes.
You can. There's nothing stopping you, I guess.
Okay. Here's the plan. I am going to use my magic to intensify your voice. Oh, wait, can I do that? I don't know.
For thaumaturgy?
Yeah, why not? Who cares?
Yeah. All right, cool. And you might ask them politely if we can write them? Is that? Okay. And I'll just turn to Chloe. Would you like to ask them to write?
Oh, I don't speak bird so good.
Okay. Tiburon, was it you?
I could try my best. I'm a little rusty at bird talk, but I could try my best.
Okay. And I'll kind of use my magic to intensify Tiburon's voice.
Yeah, absolutely, you can. Tiburon, what do you say?
Tiburon looks up at the sky, at our avian friend above us. And he screams out to the bird friend,
Bird, would it be okay if we rode you? We have to travel a far distance, and you're faster than we are. I hope you enjoyed the snack we tossed you.
Give me a persuasion check.
This is the best.
Yeah.
Can I help in some form? First roll.
Yeah, sure. Do it at advantage, because why not?
Okay, well, that's a 16 versus a 3.
Probably take the 16.
I think I'll take the 16.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right, well, since you chose to take the 16, there's like a moment or two where things get quiet, and this creature kind of dives once again towards your group, this time getting almost eye level with you, Tiburon, and says... Are you referring to that thing you threw at me?
Yeah, that was supposed to be a little snack. I overheard that you thought we were snacks, so I thought you were hungry.
You are snacks. I'm waiting to see if I can eat you or not. I'm not sure yet.
Well, clearly I'm not a snack. I'm a fairy. As well as my friends are.
I don't understand the dip. What are you saying?
Snacks don't talk.
Oh, that's definitely not true.
I mean, we are not the snack that hollers back until you bite our heads off.
Well.
I'm confused by you. I don't know what to do. And for some reason, I feel like I should do what you say. So I guess so.
Why? That's great.
I might eat you later still.
That's fair. That's fair. But right now we have an agreement where there's no eating. There's only riding.
For now. And it tentatively agrees.
Excellent.
Because I rolled a 6. So, nice. I guess this bird that was going to eat you is now very chill with you. I love it.
Hell yeah.
So, it kind of like gets beneath you guys. It doesn't ever break the stride. It's still flying forward, but gets below you and slows down enough that you all could hop on the back. And it is large. Like, this is like a 10-foot wingspan, like massive creature.
Thank you for the ride. And I just jump over.
I think for flair, Thibodeaux is just going to like dive bomb down on it, and then just do a barrel roll next to Marta.
I'm just going to be like, I did not expect this to go like this today. However, and I just like get on the back, but I'm still weary.
Fair enough. You all hop on, and you provide some minimal instruction to this creature who takes off in the direction that you are headed. Just because of their size, they are easily able to get a little safely, get up higher safely. And you guys coast at a higher rate of speed, fairly comfortably. This creature does get distracted from time to time, seeing other like small beasts and insects. But you, I'll say for the sake of this, managed to keep it on track long enough to get you to the eastern edge of the island, further than any of the four of you have ever traveled before. Give me a perception check, all four of you.
13.
Same.
12.
2.
Okay. Marte, it's so high up, like all you can see is, and this bird's moving really fast, so all you see is like the whirring of stone on one side and the ocean out on the other side, not really catching much of anything. The rest of you do spot, as you get towards this, like where you can start to see the sea in front of you as well, you note that there is a little bit of like a little spot of vegetation way down below you towards the eastern edge of this island that catches your attention. Otherwise, you can see this now as you near this split in the land where the sea is rushing between this island and the next one. What would you like to do?
I'm not used to like flying at this speed, so my eyes are kind of watery, like I can't see anything.
Yeah.
Are we going the right way?
Mm-hmm. Right now? Okay. It appears that we're going the right way. Here, take this, and I give him like a scarf or something to shield over his eyes.
Thank you, Rizal. Oh, that's much better. And I just put it on.
How do we land this thing?
I don't think we all fly, right? I don't know if we're landing or we're just getting up.
We're just doing like our little parachute jump off the plane.
Yeah, it's a high altitude drop.
Yeah. There's a needle drop as we jump off. It's very cool. We're really cool.
Someone goes off by themselves.
Oh, we're like, my what God. The hell?
Why'd you solo dive?
Is where we're going, are there any like structures or anything like that that would indicate to us like that is the spot that we need to be headed towards?
Nobi Echo did not give any like specifics about what the forbidden place is like, although you assume that there's probably at least some similar buildup of the natural terrain and, you know, what is available to your people, like some sort of little buildup of homes or structures, but it would be quite small and probably not something you could see from the air. You haven't seen any, I mean, with the exception of this little dot below you of like a prick of kind of green in a sea of red, you haven't really spotted anything, like notable terrain changes, no structures, no buildings. Like, you haven't seen anything on this particular path that you have taken.
So we just jump here, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're close enough. Maybe? I don't know.
Do I know how, like, close or far we are, probably, from...
Yeah, based on the kind of general directions provided to you, this eastern edge of this island, you know that it is on the next one over. So you know that you have to get across this spanse of ocean that separates those two land masses. How far into the other island, you're not exactly sure, but you know that it is like the next landmass over.
Okay. I think this is as good as it gets here, so I think we have to jump off now.
Okay. Thank you, Bert, for the ride. And I turn to everybody and just say, I'll race you to the bottom. And I just jump off.
You do so.
I will jump off I'll just go racing. There's no rush here. We got here faster. I don't understand this racing.
Spoken like someone who's gonna lose the race.
And I jump off and go by you.
I just jump off like and glide. I'm doing a nice glide, not like straight dive.
Diburon goes ahead and jumps last and says to our bird friend, "May your belly be full upon your journeys." And then he just like falls back with his arms out and just dives down, chasing after everyone else.
Don't talk about his belly. We left and we were fine. He might think he's hungry. You just jump.
Tiburon, as you fall over the edge, you hear, "I'm still thinking about eating you," as you like down, falling out of the sky.
I think Tiburon shouts back at, "Good luck with that."
Wow.
I separate away from
gets closer.
I don't know if I can hear what he's saying. I don't know if I know what they're saying, but I'm just gonna be like, I'm gonna glide a
little. Far apart. It gets closer. Thinks that, you know, it's finally joined a race. So
if I die, I'm haunting your family.
As this argument is happening, you're all falling or floating, flying, gliding down towards this spot that you saw from your high vantage point. As you descend and get closer, you see that this kind of pseudo path that you have been following splits yet again. There is a sort of ramp of stone that leads up to a high vantage point overlooking the sea on the eastern side of the island. As you get closer, you can see that you would likely be able to see the land on the other side were it not for the hazy air quality. However, the other part of the path seems to lead down, like closer to the earth, closer to the land. And as you get closer, you see that there is a little tiny bit of sparse, like almost not even alive, like little bits of grass, as what becomes evident is a second path that seems to lead down into the earth. Not like a cave. It doesn't necessarily have like an open, distinctive mouth, but rather the terrain splits. Part of it escalates and part of it kind of goes down to this deeper area. You can't see very far into it from the air, but you can see that those are your two options.
Should we take the grassy one or the other one?
Probably the one that goes uphill, because we can glide down if we need.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Give me a perception check. Maybe this will help.
Okay. Everybody?
Yeah, everybody. As you guys are getting closer.
Ooh.
8. 16.
Oh my god.
Dirty 20.
16. Nice.
So yeah.
Okay. So I will say then that as you guys are getting closer, Clove and I think Tiburon, you both note that the stone kind of elevated ledge that makes up one half of sort of this path does lead you high enough. You would land or be high enough that you could potentially either fly or use magic or do something to get across this span, which looks to be maybe 2,000 feet or so in length. So it's definitely not a hop or a skip, but it's doable, especially because you all have the power of flight. Getting closer, Clove, you note that sort of buried in this red sand, you see a little cutout of stone that catches your attention because it is very clearly carved. It is not a naturally occurring stone shape and seems to be a little bit buried in the dirt. I would say that's what you catch with a dirty 20.
I would like to brush some sand off that and see if I can... Actually, can I use my feature to ascertain the original purpose and its builders from my background?
Amazing.
Oh, wow.
You can. From where you're standing, or from where you are, close enough to get, you know, to be able to brush some dirt away, this doesn't seem all that remarkable. There's no iconography or anything on it, but because of your background, you immediately ascertain that this is some kind of pathway.
Oh. Oh, like it, this is a like marker it leads, for a pathway?
You think it probably is leading further into the earth.
Oh.
You guys, this is, it's like a pathway into the earth.
Do you think we should head there?
I mean, I feel like we'd have to dig.
Right, DM, would we have to dig our way in or no?
No, it's sort of like this slanted, almost not even noticeable from your original vantage point. There is like a cutout in the stone, but it's uneven. It's not like a flat, like mouth of a cave. It's more like there's some stone jutting out at an odd angle, and then there's more stone behind it jutting out at another odd angle, and there's just enough room for you to travel through this stonework into this sort of tunnel.
Yeah, if I were, a small fairy who liked to get into trouble, I think this is the way that I would go. trying to think like rain.
But aren't we just all small fairies that like to get in trouble anyway?
Exactly. That's why we should go this way.
We are? Like it. Okay.
I just find myself in trouble. I don't try and get in trouble, but I guess, sure.
That would be Rain's argument too, by the way, but whatever. Okay, so the four of you set off down this kind of pathway that at first feels a little precarious. You're just kind of crawling, or you're small enough, actually, you're not, but you're sort of moving in this narrow opening of stone. And again, it's not like a natural cavern. It's almost like huge pieces of earth kind of collapsed in and made this tunnel. And as it begins to, as you continue, it begins to open up. And you see before you this huge kind of underground space with more, I would not say familiar vegetation, but there is vegetation here. Grasses and vines here and there. each of you might spot something that you've maybe never seen before, which are these huge stumps of wood, like some massive trees were here at some point. They are long dead and inert, but they still rest here in various places. And as you make your way further into this huge dark space, do any of you have dark vision? I can't remember. I don't think fairies...
No, rain doesn't,
I know. Okay.
I don't think
so. It is quite dark in here, but you can make out that you are in a huge space. And if you're following the stonework that Clove found, this stonework continues. It is broken, but it is less buried now that you're in this underground space. And you find in a predictable pattern these huge cut out square pieces of stone that lead further into this cavern.
This is wild.
This is really different from what I thought.
Does anybody have a candle? Because I can't see anything.
Do you still have the thing over your eyes?
Oh, that's right. Okay. Oh, that's much better. And I just take it out.
It is still pretty dark in here.
Yeah, I bet. Getting kind of hard to see.
I think I have a torch on me. Do I have a torch on me? Yeah, I do. Okay. I do have a torch.
Okay, awesome. Great.
So I'll light my torch with a little flint and my axe and light the torch.
Oh, that's cool.
I think as soon as the torch comes out, I bring my torch out, and that jogs my memory that I have one in my pack, and I'll just bring my torch up and light it against theirs.
Perfect.
And I'll stand to the back.
Okay. Go ahead, Marte.
I just was gonna say that. Oh, that's much better. Thank you, friends. Okay, so we just follow this road then?
With a little bit of light now, I'm gonna have all of you guys make me a perception check.
Ah, mm. Perception.
Oh, here we go, here we go, here we go.
12.
14.
Oh my god.
13.
7.
Okay. I would say all of you, Marte's just having a day.
yep.
There's a lot going on. But I would say the rest of you see, and can easily point out to Marte, these weird, huge bits of stone arranged differently than you've ever seen. They're broken in many places. You don't see like any full standing, easily recognizable structure. But there are obvious remnants of something here. Clove, with your background, it takes you a little bit of time just because it's very, the structure and stonework is kind of odd, and it's huge. It's not like fairy sized, bits of stonework. This is obviously something else. But there are a couple things that after some time you pick up on. One, this place was made. It did not just come into being. Something made this. Someone made this. There are half-broken, pillars here and there in places. You can see where there may have been a covered structure here once before. And most notably, you catch, Clove, there is a huge rectangular thing of stone further into this chamber that has something like carved into it, some markings that you don't know if you said infernal in Sylvan.
Yeah,
you don't recognize, you don't know what it says, but you definitely recognize it as language.
Hey, can anyone read this?
What language is it?
It is in some archaic form of Celestial.
Oh.
I understand Primordial.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, that's the only other language I know.
Okay.
No,
sorry. I just know Common and Birdfolk.
Yeah, which was super handy. I was not expecting that. It was pretty awesome. I don't know what it says. I mean, this place was clearly built and was built by something that's not our size.
Can I look around for any clues of, like, maybe what the significance of how things are placed?
Sure, yeah. Investigation or maybe history. I don't know, whatever you think is best.
Yeah, I'm so good at both of those, for sure. I'll do history. Oh, okay, 15.
Okay. Oh, can I guidance them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is that just I add a d6?
D4.
D4. So that is 15 so far, plus another 2, so 17 total.
17. It's kind of hard to tell. You can't read the writing, and much of this place is rubble at this point. But you get the sense that this place was special. You've never seen stonework like this anywhere else in your travels. And it seems old, like from before your people came here from the Feywild. It seems really, really ancient. You, with a 17, the best that you can ascertain is that this place was something special and protected, maybe. Obviously, if they were, whoever was here bothered to write something into the stonework, it's something of significance, but you're not exactly sure. Like, there's not enough of the structure or what was in it to give you, like, an obvious flag of, oh, this was what it was for. I will say, Marte, as you cast guidance on Rizal, you feel this strange, inexplicable sense of control and attunement. Like, you have felt, all of you, but perhaps most acutely Marte, being the only, like, true caster of this group, you have felt, like, the fluctuations in the weave and the ley lines as you've traveled. Like, you know, you can innately sense that magic is a little weird out here. This is the first place since you left the Glade that you feel completely in control of your abilities. And maybe even more so than at home. Like, there is something about your magic that is responding to this place.
Ooh. Okay. So when I cast guidance on you, I just say, you can do this. You got this. You're the best. And I just feel that energy just pumping. And I feel kind of more powerful here. Let me try something. And I kind of use Druidcraft to, like, create one single flower. And just a common flower that, like, grows wherever we're from.
Mm-hmm. You're just trying to, like, summon it into your hand, basically?
Yeah, I'm just trying. This is dirt, like, where we are, or? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so I'll just try to create it on the ground.
Okay. As you do so, let's do it this way. Give me a d20 and just tell me odds or evens.
Evens.
Okay. As you, try to druidcraft, like, just a simple flower, you see this kind of sad-looking, wilted daisy kind of flower spring up out of the dirt. And as you, like, behold it and see that it is not well, what do you do?
Magic is different here, so we might better be... I might be a little bit on the backside to try to protect you all. And the grasshopper song starts playing again.
as Marte is turned to the rest of you telling you this, the three of you see now more of these white flowers popping up out of the dirt and starting to spread all around where Marte is standing.
Hey, did you summon a field of flowers by chance?
No.
Okay.
Marta, you're truly magical.
I don't think... okay.
You should try doing another magic.
I mean, we all have druidcraft, don't we?
Yeah, everybody has druidcraft.
Yeah, you do technically all have it.
So I'll just remind everybody. I believe everybody can do that.
I don't use it all the time, so I... yes, of course.
Like, try to imagine your favorite flower or leaf and go from there.
It says fairy magic. We can cast fairy fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Third level?
Uh-huh.
Sure. I will just, we are fairies, so might as well use the thing that we're called.
Hell yeah.
Let's go.
I'll try and do fairy fire on, like, the biggest, like, location that, like, seems, like... to spread nicely over the area that we're at.
Yeah, absolutely. You probably, that massive rectangular structure that was kind of like near where y'all are standing is the biggest like object in your immediate vicinity. And you cast fairy fire on it. What color is it?
It's golden, like a golden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do so. There's no issue. The entire surface of this object is like bathed in this beautiful golden light. Clove, you note that the script does not alight in gold, but rather in red. And as you notice this, you in the distance hear a scream from far away.
Does it sound like it's further in?
Mm-hmm.
Should we wait for that to be our problem or make it our problem?
Yeah, we came all this way. We'll make it our problem. It sounds kind of like, Nobu Echo's the ghetto. So, that's sad because there's no D now. So it's my problem now.
I pat them on the shoulder. I go, it's our problem, friend.
Big sigh for me.
I start walking towards it.
Let's go make how is it go? Let's go make their problem our problem. No, let's just go.
They'll be our snack.
Problems!
The four of you take off in search of said problem, and it doesn't take you long. The screaming continues. It's intermittent, but you do continue to hear this high-pitched shriek. It seems like it only stops long enough for whomever is making the sound to draw in a couple of breaths before they start again. And you also hear this thundering, massive set of footfalls moving quickly. Doesn't sound like it's moving towards you, but somewhere ahead of you. And I would say, especially with your torchlight and everything, and now you all remember you can cast fairy fire, you're able to see... further in, past this kind of ruined whatever this is, there does seem to be a narrowing of this cavern. It becomes a little bit smaller, and you can see that there appear to be like carved or cut out passages that lead in different directions down here. And it only takes one more shriek for you to pinpoint where the sound is coming from. And you see a quadrupedal creature, larger than anything you've encountered before, running on all fours. It has a long face with this extended jaw and these massive, sharp teeth jutting out of the front of its mouth. And it is running at breakneck speed towards something you can't see, but you can hear. Clove, you would recognize the high, shrill sound of your cousin screaming at the top of their lungs as they run from whatever this thing is.
Well, we found them, and somehow none of this is shocking. all right, time to get that thing then.
Sorry, tell me again. So we're coming down this hallway. This creature is chasing.
Basically, like, you're moving forward and you don't see anything. And then you see this massive creature running from one side to the other. And you hear this, like, as it is in pursuit of something.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to dart out there and try to shoot an arrow at this thing.
Okay, go ahead. Cool. It has not seemed to notice you, so feel free to do what you gotta do.
Great. Okay, I'm gonna take a shot. Does a dirty 20 hit?
It does.
Please say yes.
Please.
It does. Sweet. And I'm gonna make this actually one of my arcane shots as well. And this is gonna be... this is going to be my shadow arrow. So they have to make a wisdom saving throw with a DC of 13. Don't get excited.
That's going to be a failure. That's an 11.
Oh, that's the best thing that could happen. Okay, let me roll damage on that really quickly. So okay. 3 points. That bus. Okay, so 9 points of piercing damage. 3 points of acid damage. And then... 10 points of psychic damage, and it is unable to see anything farther than 5 feet away from it until the start of my next turn.
Wow.
Oh. Whoa.
Well, that sucks for me. Yeah, you... give me a D100 roll in addition to this as well.
Yes. 77.
Okay. You rush forward, release this arrow... and bathe this creature in complete shadow. You hear, the last thing you see as its form starts to disappear into this darkness is it stand up on its hind two legs and let out this, like, wall-shaking, guttural roar. And it can't see anything anymore. But now, where there was one clove, there are four, as three illusory duplicates now all stand in your mirrored stance of just having released this arrow. So enjoy that free mirror image.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Now let's do a little initiative roll since it's popped off.
Yeah.
Let's go. 19.
13.
14.
16.
What did Tiburon get?
19.
Okay, got it. So I think it goes Tim, Marte, and then Rizal and Clove, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. Do I still have my second attack, though, before?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, cool. Just one more time.
Yeah.
Is this... Because it's in darkness, do I have any issue?
It is... huge. Okay. So I'm not going to say it's disadvantage, but if you had advantage or anything, I would say that would not apply because you can't technically see it.
Gotcha. Okay, so a 25 to hit.
That'll do it.
Whee! And then 9 points of piercing damage and 4 points of acid damage.
Yikes. You hear another ear-splitting roar as you make contact with this creature, but you can't see what happens to it.
Sweet. I go
wail on it.
It rolled a nat 20 for its initiative. And no, that darkness, is it centered on the creature or is it on a space? How does that work?
It just says that the creature itself is unable to see anything.
Okay.
Farther than 5 feet away. I think it is because it takes psychic damage. I think it's having a psychological issue seeing.
Amazing. Okay, well, then it is going to... at a disadvantage. Okay. You see this creature kind of emerge from this darkened space, still on its hind two legs. This like thick, leathery gray skin. And its eyes that you could previously just barely make out, multiple eyes along each side of its head, are now like clouded and white. And it swipes out in the direction of the screeching and misses. And all you hear is, oh shit, as your cousin seems to recognize that help has arrived and starts making their way in your direction. Tiburon, your turn.
Tiburon gets out his double-bladed centaur, and how far away is it?
This creature is probably 50 or 60 feet away from where you are right now.
All right, it's going to use their flying speed of 30 feet to go in, and then I'm going to. No, I'm not going to use that. That won't work. I am just going to close distance. Okay. That's all I'm going to do, and I will. I will use my second action to dash as well, so I closed 60 feet on it.
Okay, absolutely. You're now close enough to see a tiny fairy with bright red and orange hair running on the ground underneath you in the opposite direction away from this entity as you close distance. Which brings us to Marte, and then Rizal, you're on deck.
All right.
I'm going to fly as close as I... Actually, I'm going to stay. Is the creature 120 feet from me? Or in that area?
It is within that. It's about 60 feet away.
Okay, yes. Then I'll just do... my antenna starts to, like, grow in sparkles. Or it, like, is sparkling. And then out of nowhere, I'll just call lightning from... I don't know. There's a big cloud over, and you gotta do a Dex 14.
Oh Lord. Okay, that's a 5 on the die. So,
and I'm gonna use my destructive wrath, channel divinity. So they're just gonna take full damage. So it's 30 lightning damage.
Ho ho! What does this look like?
It's just a cloud, dark cloud starts appearing over them, and from the ground, just lightning just strikes them.
In this space, again, Marte, you've never felt such mastery over your magic here. Like, almost like you are being guided. Each flourish of your hand, each word that you speak, is perfection in your craft, such that you have not yet reached on your own. I'm going to let you just pick a number between 1 and 100.
69.
Knew it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Excellent choice.
Okay. As you call this lightning down and it strikes this creature, almost for a moment, like illuminating it from the inside out, like cartoon style, you can see its bones inside its body. You note as you, are looking, that your hands are like a little bit damp. And you look down, and it's like you had just plunged your hands into, like, a bucket of water. They are soaking and dripping wet. And you basically, for the next, you don't know how long, can cast Control Water without expending a spell slot, without using an action.
Oh.
So you can just sling water whenever you want.
Chris, amazing. I had a question. Seeing as I'm right next to this creature, and... that attack spell went off. Do I have to make any sort of save?
I don't think so. We can check the wording of the spell, but I think it's just the targeted creature has to make it. I don't think it's like a AoE, but we can double check.
Excellent.
Marte, anything else you want to do with your turn?
No, that's it.
Okay. So, yeah, you can control water. I'm borrowing terminology, but literally as an interrupt. It's free. You can do it literally whenever. Rizal, your turn.
I'm going to go towards the thing, and I'm going to bonus action rage.
Love it. Yep,
yeah, as barbarians do. Yeah, I'm going to take a swing at the thing.
Okay, go for it.
Swing at the thing. Oh, and a great weapon. It's not great weapon master. It's frenzy.
Yeah, go for it.
Reckless attack. Yeah, that's what it is. Oh, and I can choose to do frenzy when you rage. Okay, let me get a bonus action as a bonus action. So that means I get three attacks? Yeah, right? So I already get two, and then you get frenzy. You get another.
Yes.
Rad.
Yeah. Okay. So reckless. Yeah. God damn. Barbarians are fun.
Yeah.
I've been saying this.
Yep.
So that's an 18 for the. Oh, it's like with advantage. Okay. So, 23 to hit.
That'll do it.
For the first. 13 to hit for the second.
That one will miss.
Okay. And 26 for this third one.
Oof, that'll do it.
All right, and then I have to natty roll my dice. Because, you know, I have to drop down one die for damage. So 11 points of slashing damage plus another 2, so 13.
Okay.
For the first hit, and then 7 points of slashing damage for the second hit. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that is all of that.
I love this.
Yeah, and I'll just stand in front of it, obviously.
Okay.
That's my job. That's what I'll do.
That's what they do. Okay. Clove, you're up next.
Fantastic. Okay, so now that it is the start of my new turn, it can now see.
Okay.
Farther than 5 feet ahead of it. Just.
Oh, it doesn't need to. I'm right there.
But it doesn't matter. Sweet. Yeah. So I'm just going to take another crack at it. That is a 17 to hit.
17 will miss.
Oh, okay. It's. Ah, damn it. No, it's the only creature here, though, right?
Yeah, other than the yourselves other ones are, and your cousin, yes.
Yeah, yeah. The other ones are illusions. All right. So. That's a miss. Okay, let me give that another go. Does a dirty 20 hits though? Yeah.
Yeah, it will. Okay, yes.
Sweet. Okay, so that's going to be 10 points of piercing damage and 5 points of acid damage. Fuck it. I'm gonna use action surge and I'm gonna hit it again.
Do
it. That's going to be a 21 to hit. Hits. Yep. So that's going to be 8 points of piercing damage and 4 points of acid damage. Pew pew.
Wow. This thing is bloodied. As you, the four of you just sort of all unleash hell at the same time. And it seems pretty upset. Clove, is there anything else you'd like to do with your turn?
is Rain closer to us now?
Rain is a little closer. They are on foot, and you can see that they're clutching something to their body as they're just running as fast as they can.
Okay, then I just yell, Rain, book it! and that's my turn.
Okay, awesome. That brings us to its turn. And it doesn't appreciate any of what y'all have done. Rizal, you're right in its face, and it's coming for you first. And it, oh my lord, opens this massive jaw full of several sharp teeth, and lunges out like it's trying to clamp down and snap you. But it misses with a 7 on the die.
Oh yeah, that misses.
Chris, is the creature 5 feet from me, as it makes this attack. Yes. I have a fighting style interception.
Oh.
Ooh.
So I get to use my... Well, it misses, so it doesn't do anything.
Okay. Well, keep that in mind, because it does have multi-attack, and it's going to try again with its massive clawed hand.
Keeping the axe up, trying to block.
That is a 26 to hit.
That do be hitting.
Does something happen now with your interception?
Yeah, I can use my reaction to reduce the damage by 1d10 plus 3. Okay. Do I reduce that dice?
No, that's fine. Okay. But I do have to roll the damage for you.
Also, you do have advantage because I used my reckless. If you weren't attacking me with advantage already.
Oh, I wasn't. But since it hit, we're going to let it fly. That's going to be 13 points of slashing damage.
Let me see what I reduced it to.
Okay.
And 8 points of bludgeoning damage. Oh, no, you're flying. Never mind. Not the bludgeoning. So just the slashing.
So I reduced it by 12 points, so you only take 1.
So you take 1 point of slashing damage.
Sick. I cannot reduce it more, so.
And I reduce it by, I take my scimitar and I kind of, like, I see it coming. And I just kind of, like, bring it up to, like, push it out of the way of him and Rasal.
Amazing. Yeah, you know that your scimitar, like, the sharp edge of it cuts into the palm of this creature and doesn't even seem to notice, but you do deflect it enough to keep Rasal from getting batted out of the air. Amazing.
I'll nod at Tiburon.
That's all it can do. That does bring us to Tiburon's turn.
Alright. Tiburon is going to... take a slash with the scimitar.
Mm-hmm.
At it. So that's a 26.
That'll do it.
And then I'm doing 10 points of slashing damage at it.
Okay.
And then what I'm going to do for my next action is I'm going to, with my opposite hand, I want to point my finger towards it. And then I'm just going to make a trace of a symbol in the air. I'm casting Blade Ward on myself, which gives me resistance against bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing.
Smart. Smart.
For the next turn.
All right. Give me a D100.
I'm going to tell you I rolled a 22.
Okay. Okay. So you cast Blade Ward on yourself. You feel yourself kind of emboldened and... protected by this magic, and you also feel that your clothes are like suddenly damp. Your pants are like clinging to your legs. You are completely soaked. Your skin is wet and slippery for the next 2 hours, but it gives you advantage on all checks made to escape a grapple, and you have advantage on dex saves.
Damn, got hit with that astro glide.
Yep. Yep.
What? Holy crap.
Yep.
Magical lube, yeah, basically.
I'm just gonna be slipping and sliming my way through this battle now.
Yeah.
Do I lose grip of my weapon because of this?
No, I'm not gonna make you do that. That would be hilarious, though. Marte, it is your turn.
All right. I am still concentrating on the call lightning, so I'll do that again. Phew. And again, I'll use my destructive wrath with channel divinity. And it gets 30 lightning damage.
Jeez. Well, yeah, it looks real bad. Looks real bad. The lightning is, like, charring and singeing its skin. It is messed up. It's messed up right now. Bleeding from arrows and great axes and scimitars. And... getting electrocuted basically to death. It's getting roasted as you watch.
Hail, yeah.
Gnarly.
That was action. Yeah, that was my action.
Okay.
So with the bonus action, somebody got hit, right? I think
I did barely, not one damage.
Okay, so you're good, and
yep.
All right. Then I'll just hold my shield close to me and just be ready for the second strike, and that's my turn.
All right, Rizal.
I will do another 3 attacks towards it.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. And I have this axe called, like, the Weapon of Certain Death, so apparently it cannot gain hit points until the start of its next turn, every time I do hit it.
Ooh, nasty.
I'm sorry, what was the name of that weapon?
The Great Axe, or Weapon of Certain Death is what it's called.
Damn.
Yikes. Yikes for me.
Certain
death.
Certain. So, okay. First one is a 21.
That'll do it.
Okay. 24.
Okay, yep.
And a 19.
A 19 will just hit. All three of them hit.
Dang. Hell yeah. All right. D10s. Okay. So, 8 for the first hit.
Okay.
9 for the second.
Okay.
And 16 for the last hit. I'm wailing at it. Just going like, you're so fucking ugly. I hate this. And I'm just like hitting it, like leg and the torso, just trying to like knock it down. Cause obviously like we're smaller. So, you know, you gotta aim for the legs.
Yeah. Rizal, how do you want to do this?
Oh, okay. I will certain. So I'm gonna hit it near its ankle, and then chop that down, and then chop at its like other knee on the other side, and I'm basically just like working it down until I get to its head, and then like I basically like raise. You know how like you see those people like wood chopping at the strongman games? They have a specific way of like they hike it up. It's very dynamic, and they hold it up top for like a split second, and then come down with it. That's how I'm gonna do it, to like crack its skull. I'm not gonna like cut it in half, but you'll definitely hear the crack, and I'll have to like nudge my axe out.
Yeah,
like deliver that last hit.
Oh, so gnarly. Your great axe makes contact with the top of its skull, and you have to like hold on as it falls and starts to take your axe with it. You manage to yank it up as this creature comes crashing down in this big heap of now just carved up flesh that you guys have left. You have destroyed this thing, this huge, like 12 foot tall beast. And in this split second, Marte, the creature is falling. It's almost like everything slows down for you for just a second. You see this beast, you know, hacked off at the knees, falling towards the ground. Give me a wisdom save.
Oh, no. Oh, 14. It was almost a natural 20.
14. With a 14, you suddenly feel this, like, lurch in the middle of your body, like you're about to throw up, like this weird, intense spike of disorientation and nausea, and you for a split second no longer see this huge space filled with your very small companions. You see instead a massive structure, tall, huge cut stone pillars surround this odd object that you had found inscribed not much further back. And you recognize instantly that you're seeing something. You don't know what it is exactly. But you see entities that you cannot describe with the language you have at your capacity. These ethereal, massive people, creatures, something, you're not sure. But all you see is a flurry of color and movement around you as the stench of death starts to creep into your nostrils. And it moves faster and faster until it is just a blur of color. And then you find yourself, no worse for wear, still among your compatriots in this darkened cavern. Not sure what you just saw, but you know that no one else saw it.
Oh, crap. As I go into that state, I start drawing on the ground, like, what I'm seeing. So the silhouettes of all the creatures and everything. And as I come back out of it, I'll just look at everybody and with my eyes, like, wide open and a little bit scared. You know, super terrified, I mean. And I just pass out.
I'll say with that, you all see Marte just go out, like knees give out. But none of you recognize these entities. They are roughly humanoid, but not exactly. Some of them have extra arms. Some of them are don't have the same limbs or like makeup that you do. They are very strange. And I will say, Clove, in these kind of sketches in the dirt, something does kind of trigger for you a little bit. They don't really have faces. They don't really like have any like distinguishing qualities that you're like, oh, that's someone or so-and-so or this thing.
Yeah.
But you do note, that a couple of these entities that Marte has sketched out have little iconography, maybe on like the center of the chest or on an arm. And they are all different. You don't recognize all of them, but you do spot a couple of symbols that you know from whatever books or whatever education you have been able to provide yourself are the great spirits of the before time of this place. Fairies don't really care about the gods of other men. Hmm. But this is somewhere in that neighborhood.
Oh, these are the old ones. The ones who came before? All of it? It's hard to explain. Marte? are you good?
He'll just pass out.
I'll pick him up.
Yeah, in this moment, Rain kind of reaches where you are, and you can see that they are clutching something very tiny and something moving. But they don't really give it up as they're running in your direction, and you hear them say, there's more of them, we should go! And they continue taking off in the direction that you all came from.
Not good. So I'm going to try to help get Marte up as well so we can all get moving.
Amazing.
I'm waiting for Rain to make their way closer.
Oh, they've blown past you. They are still running.
Oh, then I am giving chase after Rain, trying to keep up.
I'm rage running.
Carrying Marte like a sack of potatoes. Yeah. Amazing.
Cursing in my my family's dialect the whole way.
Amazing. So the four of you having successfully located and prevented the death of one of your fey kin, we will close this session. After you guys have made your way back, a somewhat arduous trip that you can take your time now on, I would be curious to know from each of you, what is something that you would not share with your family and kin when you get back, or something that you would specifically tell people so that they are aware of more of your surroundings? What piece of information do you bring back and either share or withhold?
I will say apparently you might be able to fly on birds.
It's not that bad one.
You can probably fly on birds. I wouldn't recommend it, but if you do, make sure you have food for them.
Amazing. Lanza, what do you add to what does Tiburon add to the collective knowledge of the Fae?
What I don't share actually is the vast openness and awesomeness that is the ethereal realm. That's just going to, I think after this, Thibodon's probably just gonna stop being a hunter and do more of a much simpler life. Because how do you go back to normalcy after witnessing that? So I think they're becoming, instead of being a protector of the hunter gatherers, be part of the gathering group or a farmer.
You know, that's valid, honestly.
Yeah.
That's valid. Marte, what about you?
I am gonna share the symbols that I saw in this place, and like try to share them with the elders or whoever knows about this, so we can start a little bit of deciphering this languages and yeah.
Okay, I love that. And Clove.
After berating Rain the entire way back. And being like, and literally taking off my arm and shaking it at them and being like, do you want this to be you?
Oh my God.
When we get back, I tell everything to Nobi Echo specifically, just like the entirety of both the depictions that Marte drew and just the fact that this was made and all of this. Because if anybody can get shit done, it's my family.
Fair enough. The four of you return home, some of you sharing details of your experience and others keeping that real tight in the vault of the we're never going there again. We are going to close out with the inscription that you found on that stone object in this place. It takes probably several days coordinating with people who do speak the language and kind of deciphering it and puzzling through it as a group, but you do eventually manage to translate the inscription on the stone, and you manage to make out, and Clove, I would say you probably work very closely with both Echo and Marte on this. Maybe Tiburon, if they're recovered from the crisis that they're undergoing. But you eventually, let's see, manage to piece this together. Here, the threads of Aether were bound to the protectors, to shepherds. 9 to shield Evastria from what lies beyond, here at the beginning.
Holy crap.
Oh damn.
Cool.
Wow.
The implications. And that's where we're going to end today's session.
No!
Cool.
Hey, thanks so much for attending the Faeforge Academy today. Before you go, don't forget to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/faeforgeacademy. And also stop by Greenleaf Geek. which is at Greenleaf Geek on Twitter and Instagram, or greenleafgeek.com. Get all your dice needs fulfilled. And don't forget that if you use the code FeyForge on checkout, you'll get 10% off your order. We are also proud members of the Fandom Mentals Podcast Network, so make sure you go to thefandommentals.com to catch up on all sorts of pop culture and nerd stuff. They have a lot of great articles, a lot of other great podcasts. Check them out. And with that, I am your Dungeon Master, Steven. You can find me on Twitter at @the_baddm.
My name is Ian Gould, and you can find me on Twitter at Ian G. Gould.
Hey, I'm Chris. I like to hang out. You can do so alongside me on Twitter at Kiss of Hemlock.
Hey, I'm Adelaide Gardner. You can find me at @oAdelaide.
Hi, I'm Emily, or M, and you can find me at Emily Irv, that's EmilyErv, on Twitter and Instagram.
My name is Michael Sinclair II. You can find me at Michael Critz on Twitter and on Twitch.
Theme music by Dave Cole of the Four Orbs Podcast. For more music, check out D. Cole Music on YouTube. Additional sound effects and music found at Zapsplat.com, TabletopAudio.com, and EpidemicSound.com. The Fae Forge Academy is a proud member of the Fandom Mentals Podcast Network.